This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to the Gallant Few Rangers podcast. This is the daily news for the 25th of April 2024. I'm going to be your host for this daily news show today. Thanks for joining us, and I'm also chuffed to be joined again alongside Scott. How are you doing, mate?
Aye, not bad at all, pal. Not bad at all. You are yourself, aye?
Aye, good, mate. Good. All good. All good. Deja vu after doing this yesterday, but back for more, mate. So, as you know, we the Daily News, we try and dissect what's going on with Rangers, and it does surprise you. There is always something that kind of pops up or rises. So, I've got a few things to talk about today, but I think probably the most important thing to touch on, a poignant moment for the club, as it's 10 years since Sandy Jardine's passed. We're recording this on the 24th at night, but essentially it'll be going out in the morning. So 10 years to the day of Sandy Jardine's passing, which for me doesn't feel like that. And I remember obviously at the time how big it was to the people and connected with the club and how much of a legend he is, you know, to have, you know, essentially a stand named after you is some going. So, absolute legend, done so much for us at various stages in his playing career, but I think he's off the field stuff, particularly around the kind of 2011 onwards era, will never be forgotten by the fans. But, aye, some thoughts on Sandy Jardine, please, Scott.
He's one of the greatest ever Rangers, isn't he, really? He's never going to be forgotten. I think what you touched upon there in terms of what he's going to be remembered for, I think we need to remember he was a player, but he wasn't a player in my day. I remember him for Mary's off the field stuff. He'd done a lot of charity work. He'd done a lot of nights in terms of like guest nights and things. But most of all, what I'm going to remember him for is a role he played in a kind of Charles Green era and different. Like, see, when the club was in turmoil, it was one of the ones there. And that's probably the peak of his Rangers career, if I'm being honest, is that because he was there for us in our most torrid times. And especially in different eras during that ownership, Chris, it was like, Sandy Jardine, I think he gave his supporters a bit of comfort. Mm-hmm. Knowing if he was bagging something, then it kind of made you get behind whoever was in charge at the club at the time. I mean, there were that many different owners and investors for Charles Green to Easdales to Mike Gashley, you had all these kind of guys floating about the club, and Sandy Jardine was always there at that time, as was McCoy, straight enough. But Jardine, in terms of being off the field, and you could trust his judgment, basically, couldn't you? And I think that's what I'm probably going to be most grateful to Sandy Jardine's life for.
Yeah, and obviously, if the generations that did get the chance to watch him would all tell you how good a player he was and how important he was for the club. So, 10 years on, so thoughts obviously with his family. Obviously, you know, a loss is, 10 years on, you still don't really get over it as much. You know, it's still a loss for the family. So, thoughts with the family, and as I say, 10 years, so I thought it was important that we started on that, because obviously that's crucial. So, in terms of the sort of rest of the world, in terms of Rangers, we've obviously got some contractual things that are starting to come up, stuff popping out in the press regarding Lundstrom, which I think's probably been, you know, well documented, where people feel probably strongly in one camp or the other. I think if you would have had a conversation about Lundstrom a few months ago, there may have been more people that wanted them to renew, but certainly now it seems a bit up in the air. But the interesting one is Leon Balogun, I think, in terms of, I think he's come out and started having conversations about what's happening, or he's maybe been asked a question. What's your thoughts on, first of all, Lundstrom, but then Balogun in terms of contract renewals?
Well, Lundstrom, I think, is going to continue to divide opinion among the Rangers support, but at the same time, I think the overall general feeling is he needs to be let go, and we need this is when in the summer we need to try and reset, and a rebuild needs rebuild in terms of a core and leadership, and we touched upon it in yesterday's news. For me, you probably let a big man go, but I think he's somebody come on really likes, so I think he's going to sign a new deal and stay. He's been linked with Trabzon, Sport and Ipswich recently. I mean, you look at guys like Ryan Kent, how he's getting on out in Fenerbahce, he's out in the wilderness and he's not getting paid, and you see things kind of unfolding and you wonder why anybody else, like Borna's apparently signed a pre-contract with Trabzon Sport, that's one of the clubs he's linked with, and you're like, what would make you want to go and play football over if you fall out with a club, and which happens 9 times out of 10 with any kind of British-based players that go to Turkey. Kenny Miller at Bursaspor, for example, I don't think he was getting paid. Chris Boyd, there's several players in the past that's went over and ended up in the bad books, don't get paid, don't get their wages, and then they just end up kind of floating about the wilderness over it, and they get picked back up over here. So I don't know why anybody would want to go there. I think Ipswich would be a good move for Lundstrom, but I think he's still going to be donning the Royal Blue next year. In terms of Balogun's a must for me to stay. I've been saying it for probably just before he got a facial injury when he was playing a wee run of matches in kind of January, February, March time, that I wanted him to stay because he's vital. He's vital. Chris, me and you touched upon last night about Arfield going and McGregor and Davis and all these types of players in terms of leadership. Balogun immediately comes in. He answered the call to the rap of a heart last summer when Bill phoned him. I've got his quote here when he's been asked the question. He says, I really don't know. I think these decisions will be made within the club within the next few weeks. I hope I get a notification a bit more timely than the last time around. So that kind of tells you kind of where a big man's at. I think he wants to stay. We want him to stay. If it's in that kind of bit part role, then like, why not? He's experienced, he comes across as a good guy to be in and around the club. So,
no.
And he's not bad with a fit either. Spoke about it kind of on a podcast the other day. Like, everybody's got this kind of thing in their head about older players. But see, when you think about it, we're going to give him another year's deal. But the time distance between the season finishing and the season starting is going to be about 6-7 weeks. He's not going to lose that. At much pace, or he's not going to lose a yard in that time, you know what I mean? So it could be crucial at the start of the season, it could be crucial in the middle of the season, it can come in any time and do a job, just like it showed last weekend.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Rangers teams have always had, like, experienced pros, as we touched on, you know, the best Rangers teams have always had good experienced pros run about. I think Davy Weir is the epitome of Like, he's the ultimate. You know, I think David Weir was about 53 before he stopped playing for Rangers. You know what I mean? Like, and I always remember he definitely lost his turn of pace, David Weir. Like, I always remember, I think it was Hooper that kind of turned him inside out, and David Weir, the still image is David Weir staring the other way and Hooper's get the ball over the other direction. But he could read a game, unbelievable. And his leadership throughout the club was absolutely massive, without a doubt. And I think, I'm not saying bargaining in any way, shape or form as a figure like David Weir, but in this group, particularly if we're targeting younger players through recruitment, which January kind of probably spells a wee bit of what it's going to be like, it is vital that we've got guys like that, particularly if he's, you know, not sitting there demanding to play every week and sitting there on a kind of lesser wage as well. It feels like a no-brainer. But I also don't want to, you know, say I keep bargaining and we don't invest in centre-halves, because I think it's pretty much staring as a face that we still need to improve back there. But for the role that he's got, I think, it seems like a no-brainer. So hopefully the club do the right thing with that in terms of Lundstrom. For me, it's interesting, isn't it? Like, Lundstrom could go on and have a pure cracking end to the season, and Rangers could as well. Could get a double, could get a treble. Like, does that then change the opinion of people? Who knows? But, contracts and changes, I think, are probably going to be the hot topic once the FIFA settles down. I don't think you'll maybe see much before then. I think there'll be more of a focus on game to game, because it's pretty much game after game now. So we focus on the end of the season, but I think we'll have a fair idea before the FIFA's done what's happening.
Can I see quickly? See, just on the leadership stuff we were talking about last night, I'm pure going to have a daily news stuff if it's sorted here, but so watching the highlights of the Leicester game last night, right, and you've got Jamie Vardy at 37 banging in the goals. See, when we're talking about leadership up front, see, like, somebody of that ilk, would you take, say, for example, Vardy, end of the season, he's got a contract. God knows if Leicester are going to renew it or not. Is that somebody that you think could come in with? Is that the type of experience do you think we need up top?
I think that's missing at the club just now, like, experience, but...
Well, a depot type kind of influence.
A leader, an influence, a change in the sort of status quo, somebody that's not going to be scared to come in and, you know, maybe stand up to Goldson. I know we spoke about Goldson yesterday, you know, and the culture in the club and stuff like that, which we don't know. We're not involved in the club, but, I mean, I wouldn't be against it. Again, I wouldn't want to build my whole recruitment, you know, strategy around, you know, 35, 37-year-olds, but I don't think... For where we're at as a club, I don't think it would do us any harm, you know, having him as an option, you know, having a player like that as an option. He's going to get you goals. He's definitely going to get you goals. He's still rapid, still got a bit of pace. He's maybe not at his peak where he was at, but I know, I think just probably, I mean, I don't really know him, but you can tell he's got that leadership mentality in terms of what he's got at Leicester. I think if he's coming up to Scotland, I think there might be another manager sniffing about him right enough that used to coach him. But for me, I'm not against that. I think there's a need there. I think if there's maybe a question mark around the kind of culture and mentality of the squad, I don't think, unless you're signing Jude Bellingham, I don't think a 20-year-old's going to come in and really change that. You know, like your young guys that we're bringing in, they're going to come in and, you know, fit around the culture and sort of, you know, what Goldson says spot on. A lot of these younger players probably don't have as much character and personality as they used to have. Mm-hmm. So that tells me that as much as he's absolutely spot on, they're not going to come in and really change the dressing room, do you know what I mean? Whereas a Jamie Vardy comes in and probably does, a Stephen Davis come in and probably did, you know, and Jermaine Defoe did, Alan McGregor did, Scott Arfield did. That's the type of signings Gerrard went for. I think he kind of knew, you know, that was there. And don't get us wrong, like, Gerrard, as much as I still love Steven Gerrard for both, obviously, Rangers and Liverpool, like, his Rangers team chronically, like, you know, never performed to the level that we should have. We should have got so much more trophies under him. And just watching Liverpool get beat 2-0 off Everton just now, as we were saying there, wonder if he's kicking himself at the fact that he never stayed. and tried to kind of put himself in the hat for that job, because that's the one that obviously that's the one he wanted. But I do think there is something in that. I think there is something in about shaking that up and, you know, signing leaders and signing people that are ready made to do that. Very, very difficult to buy people at in their prime. So if you're going to be honest, you know, you're probably shopping about kind of people that's had it, and, you know, like Savardi might be a shout. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll see, obviously.
There's guys like Paddy McNair doing it, Middlesbrough, who's, I think he's Northern Ireland captain now. He's got a contract in the summer. Last I read, he was. It's players like that. He's only 29, 28, 29, 30. Players like that are similar to like Zarfie.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Coming in, it's just ones that can come in, make an immediate impact, and have be a squad player. It's not necessarily coming in as a starter every week, but it's the challenge to shot and set a standard in it. That's kind of what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. And also, as well, like, you just don't know what, you know, Noppen who's come in and what Clement and that. But you don't, are they even looking at that? Are they just identifying? It's kind of like that Moneyball theme, isn't it? Where you sort of get low and, you know, then have sell on value, and I think that's brilliant to do that. But I also think there's, you know, massive value in bringing somebody in that's going to do that job for you. You know, like the best managers we've had, as I said, David Weir and ones like that, they've done that. Do you know what I mean? Like even Big Hugo Ekiog, you know, another guy that's passed away. Like, yeah, that type of character that's going to come in. I just feel like I don't know. I can only comment on going to the games and what you see and how we respond and like proper adversity and stuff like that. And I just think there's a lack of that just now at the club. I just have that belief that we've lost so many big characters like that, who, you know, your McGregor's, Arfield's, Davis, Defoe, just people of that kind of ilk that, you know, would raise that standard high, you know. You know, maybe Tavin Goldson need a wee hand with that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sure they're the ones that would maybe do that as well. So it'll be interesting to see if that features as part of Clement's plans, because you'll know quite early on if we're tying people during, you know, pre-contracts. Because I think whenever Gerrard got announced, like Zarfield, and that started getting announced very shortly after it, if you remember.
That
was a big part of, obviously, his thing. So, contracts, we'll see. Speaking of, obviously, contracts, speaking of Lindstrom, the PFA Premiership Team of the Year was also released, which has caused a few eyebrows to be raised for a number of things, probably most of which centres around some players that some people felt were left out from it. But what I will say is this is the players that have voted for this. So is there a bit of people voting for people that they like or leaving people that they don't? I don't know, but the team, they've went for a 4-3-3, so that's their tactics. Butland then goal, I think that's a no-brainer. Unbelievable first season for Jack Butland. I think at the time, very, very unlucky not to get a shout for that England squad and being around that England squad, but I also think it's been a wee bit of a poison chalice for him. I don't know if it's just been, if maybe I slipped off the ball a wee bit, but I wouldn't say he's been the eights and nines and tens over since then, but still been super consistent. Like, and actually, I kind of blamed him, but for Ida's goal, I thought he should have saved it. But I had a conversation with a goalkeeper who put me right, who basically said that's where keepers are most vulnerable in that position, because it's very, very difficult to get to once you've made your move, obviously under you. So I was corrected on that one. But Butland, any objections with him? I don't think there's been any other keeper really that could take that slot off him.
No, absolutely no objections at all. I think he's played every year in the whole country, if I'm being honest.
Nah, he's been tremendous, mate. And I think as well, like, you've got, you know, when you look at what's in front of him, at times defensively, it's been a bit all over the place. And without him, you kind of shudder to think what some of those kind of moments would have looked like. Back four of Tav, Carter Vickers, Scales, and Owen Beck of Dundee, who, by the way, I really, really like. I don't think he maybe should have been in the team of the year, but I do think Owen Beck's a good young player. But back four, thoughts?
Well, back four, I probably do stick with Owen Beck, but my argument against Owen Beck is, why is Ridvan not in there? And everybody will tell me it's because he's been injured, but Cameron Carter-Vickers, I've done my look at his stats today. He's only played 54% of available matches for Celtic this season. So why is he in there for a start? Mm. And Liam Scales has come into Celtic and he's improved as a player, but has he improved Celtic's defence? I think Rodgers will get into someone, replace him, if I'm being honest. They signed that Norocki and Lager Bielka. They're not kicking the ball, so that's $7.5 million well spent for Celtic. And Liam Scales has come in off a loan Aberdeen, got in team of year. Don't get me wrong, he's improved, but is he one of the best centre-backs in Scotland? Achille Podder tweeted that follows the Gallant Few. I think they've been on a couple of times, Achille Terrace or something they're called. They tweeted out that Lewis Mayo he's played in, say, like 36 matches this season and kept 12 clean sheets. How's he not? Do you know what I mean? Against somebody that's, well, we'll take Carter Vickers, for example, against somebody who's not been as available. Now, there's no doubt in terms of quality between the two centre-halves, who's the better centre-back, but could Mayo come in next to Carter Vickers? Thing is, Carter Vickers has only played half his games this season, do you know what I mean?
Yep.
So that would be my argument for not putting Ridvan in it, fullback, because he's probably played around about the same.
I've seen people make a clamour for two Hearts players at the back. I think there is an absence of, obviously, Hearts players there. Frankie Kent and a centre-back. 14 clean sheets, he said, and I had a massive year. Alex Cochrane, left-back, although
took a true
one-back role. But a bit of a clamour for both of them to kind of come in. But that is what it is. Tav, obviously, can't argue with his numbers.
No.
Defensively, aye, maybe at times, but I think the weekend there looked a bit different. But aye, Tav in there again, good to see for him. Midfield three, O'Reilly, Lundstrom, and McGregor. Thoughts on those?
O'Reilly's a definite. I don't even think it. The most hardest Rangers supporter could even be any less fair than that. I think O'Reilly's been one of the best players in the country. McGregor, I don't really form an opinion on McGregor, to be honest with you. He's a good football player, but he plays that six role for Celtic. Lundstrom plays a six role for Rangers. You could argue who's been better out of them two. I like your boy Beningame at Hearts. I think he's had a decent season. He's had trouble with injuries. And his career, but as his kind of first season where he's not been injured as such, he's had a run of matches. He's classy, reminds me of Glenn Kamara. He's really, really tidy on the ball. Lundstrom being in there, I like your boy McCowan at Dundee. I think he's had a solid season. I think there's two of them at Dundee, and there's him and there's the boy Lyle Cameron. He's also been really good this season. I would argue, because Lundstrom's only really improved since Clement's come in. It was murder under Beale. I mean, it was towing a caravan for most of the season, let's be honest. It's only the first seven games, but I think there was about 10-15 matches played in the season between European games and stuff, cup matches under Beale. So that's got to get taken into consideration. There's other players in the league that could have got that. So David Watson at Kilmarnock hasn't had a bad season at all. Scored at Rugby Park against Celtic. Why is he not? But shouted out, he could potentially come in for McGregor on the left side of midfield three. There's arguments everywhere for it, to be honest with you, mate. What about you?
I must admit, I was surprised not to see Luke McCowan in it. Obviously, fellow Greenock boy, but Dundee finishing top six, I think, is massively, don't you, Luke McCowan? Unbelievable for dead balls. We've seen the problems they could cause in the last game that we played against them. Nine goals, five assists for Dundee, he creates chances. I mean, he pinged a ball in against us, and it most likely should have resulted in a goal or at least a shot on target. But I think he probably feel a bit undone. Aye, you're right about Matt Riley, probably in contention for going for player of the year as well. But I think he's got three assists in the Champions League as well. So it's not just been, in the league he's done it.
Aye.
I would definitely agree with you with Luke McCown, as I said. I think that's a sore yin for him. But as I said, it's the players that have voted for us for whatever reason. So who are we to judge him, I suppose? Front three, Theo Bear, Mayofsky, and your big mate, Big Shanks.
Big Shankman.
Up top. Any arguments with those three?
Aye. Why is Seaman on it? In terms of availability, Seaman's probably played around about the same as Cameron Carter-Vickers. Been one of the best players in the league. If he doesn't get a hamstring injury, he's probably in contention for player of the year. Mayofsky, I'm probably going to be a wee bit controversial here, but I don't think Mayofsky's as good as what he's been made out to be, if I'm being honest. I think he turns up on the big occasions, there's no doubt about it, but you don't hear him scoring every week for Aberdeen. Does he date consistently enough? I've seen something on Twitter earlier on about some Macedonian podders linked him with a move to Feyenoord. Feyenoord are sniffing about him. The play of him forgets a move, but
yeah.
In terms of deserving to being in that team, I would argue that one. Theo Bear, Seema could definitely be in for Theo Bear. Theo Bear's, I think the only thing anybody can say about Theo Bear is he bodied Conor Golds in Ibrox a season, do you know what I mean? Completely bullied him. Motherwell won a match because of him. Shanklin deserves, he should be in contention for player of the year as well. Hearts have ran away with that third position because of him, because of his goals. I don't think Hearts would be as comfortable without him. He's only scored three penalties. I think he missed the R3's hit. Scored an awful lot for open play. He's a man to me. He's a man to me. He's the best striker in Scotland. So he is 100%. 100%. I don't think anybody would argue with that. And for me, he's better than Mayofsky, but Mayofsky has got a higher ceiling. So it's interesting, but I'm pretty gutted considering Cameron Carter-Vickers has come in. Seema's not in it. Because I think that's a wee bit of an injustice for Seema, if I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm. I think a couple of other ones maybe that never got included. Danny Armstrong from Kilmarnock, sort of right wing, 6 goals, 10 assists. Done brilliant against both us in Celtic, to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
Big games. I think Kelly are going to have a say in where this title goes, to be honest. That's for me a team that's going to have a shout with this. Another one, Blair Spittle. Potentially an argument as to why he never got one of the forward spaces over his teammate, but another one who's done well and on his way to Hearts to play with Shankland up front next season, unless you get your way. And Shankland then moves over. So that's the
about Jan Danda, Ross County. He's been decent this season as well.
He's going to Hearts today. Naismith's building a bit of a team over there, isn't he?
Yep.
Building a bit of a team. He must be expecting a big transfer to go out the way at some point. So we've obviously looked at the player of the year. We've had a wee recap on a few things, and we've paid our respects to Sandy Jardine. So just a wee recap on the news as we move forward now into the next few days. It's game weekend. It's starting to get prepared for the women's Old Firm on Saturday, the Scottish Cup semi final. But also looking forward to Rangers travelling to St Mirren on Sunday for what is, as we touched on yesterday, a must-win game. So, Scott, cheers for your time, and cheers to anybody that's tuning in. Apologies if my big face is the first one you see in the morning, but cheers for tuning in to the Gallant View podcast, the Daily News, and we'll catch up with you again shortly.
Hey, cheers, everybody.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.